are not the only Unitarian Universalists in the world. Raise your hand if you have ever been to another Unitarian or Universalist congregation. Raise your hand if you know a Unitarian or a UU who is a member of another congregation, and if you've been to the summer all-island camp, you have met a UU from another congregation, so you can raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have ever represented our congregation as a delegate in one of our larger gatherings, either at General Assembly of the UUA in the States or at the annual conference and meeting of the Canadian Unitarian Council. Delegates. Yay. Thank you for your service. Raise your hand if you have ever attended a GA or CUC gathering, or how about a regional gathering? We hosted one recently. Raise your hand if you have ever participated in or supported any of our international networks, the UU United Nations Office or the International Council of the Unitarians and Universalists. Thank you. Lastly, raise your hand if you are now sitting in a congregation that is a member congregation of both the CUC and the UUA. That would be all of us. We are not alone. We are held in a larger whole. Let us light our chalice in honor of this larger faith of which we are a part. To do so, I invite forward two knights, John Hopewell and Christine Johnston. Did you know that two of our members have been knighted? John and Christine have each received the Victor and Nancy Knight Living Tribute Award for their significant contributions to the larger Unitarian movement in Canada. With gratitude for the ways in which John, Christine, and many others have strengthened the integrity of our larger whole, we say, blessed be. Thank you. Our storyteller today is Anna Isaacs. She works as the assistant in our Children and Youth program and is also a member of our congregation. Today we are talking about connections with Unitarian Universalists across the continent. I don't know if you noticed, but Anna raised her hand for a bunch of those things that I mentioned earlier. She has been to the All-Island Summer Camp. She has been to GA in the States, and she's also been to the Canadian Unitarian Universalist Gathering three different times. All of those connections have enriched her ability to live her Unitarian Universalist faith. Let's listen to her story.
You kids in the back, hi. Hope you come hang out with us after, okay? I see you. I will start my story. The story is about my family. Does anybody know the word opa? Do you know what it means? Yeah, grandpa except Dutch, or in my case, German. I had an opa, and he was a German soldier, and he was captured, and he spent a few years after the war as a prisoner in a country that was very poor. The prisoners went hungry, and most of them died. But my opa was lucky, and he lived. By the time he was free to go home, his country had a new name, and it had new rules. It was called East Germany now, and the government had decided that farms like my opa's now belonged to the government. Any guesses what oma means? Grandma but in Dutch, but in my case, German, yes. Jenny's pretty sharp. My oma and opa met, and they married. They worked on a farm where my Aunt Ursula was born. When I was a little girl, my opa would come up behind my oma, where she couldn't see him, and grin at me and go like this. Any ideas why he would do that? What about you, Lucas? Mom was being mean. Close. My oma talks a lot. And my opa talked very little. But even though he barely ever spoke, my opa was never very good at keeping his opinions to himself. And he never liked to be told what to do. He didn't like the new government and the new rules where he was living in East Germany. And some of his relatives were thrown in jail for giving away milk. Other people who spoke openly about not liking the government disappeared, and they didn't come back. So my oma was worried that my opa, even though he didn't talk much, said things he shouldn't say, and that he might disappear too. My Oma's Aunt Lydia lives in Canada. And my Oma and Opa hope that their aunt, you might know where this is going. My Oma and Opa hope that Aunt Lydia could help them leave East Germany and get to Canada. But there was a problem. No one in East Germany was allowed to move to another country. Even though it would have been very dangerous if they'd been caught, they snuck with their little girl from East Germany to West Germany. My mum was born in a refugee camp. She was the youngest passenger on the boat to Canada when she was 3 months old. Can you imagine? My sister still has the baby buggy that my mum traveled across the ocean in. It's too worn out to hold her own babies, so she planted strawberries in it for her children to eat. It's a good use. You know, you got to recycle things, right? This summer, I got to cross the border to be with thousands of other Unitarian Universalists. It was fun, and I learned lots. At the youth worship, the rock band singer said something that made me want to tell you this story today. He said, "Ours is an embodied faith." The word embodied has the word body inside it. And what this means to me is that we don't just live our faith in our heads or even just our hearts. We also live our faith with our whole body and with what we do. Faith calls us to do what we think is right, even when it's scary and even when it's hard, even when we don't know what's going to happen next. My Opa found the faith to not give up living, even when his body was very hungry and he didn't know how he would find food. My Oma found the faith to leave home and go on a long journey to find a safer new home. My great aunt Lydia found the faith to welcome home family that she had never even met. I hope that Unitarian Universalism can help all of us find the faith to do what we decide is right, even when we don't yet know how our story will turn out. That's the end.
Thank you, Anna. Breathe in. Breathe out. Settle into a place of meditative attentiveness. And I am thine. I rest in thee. Great Spirit, come. And rest in me. Whatever burdens, whatever worries or sorrows you carried into this room, you are not alone. We are held in a larger whole. Whatever name you give to that larger whole, spirit of life, source of love, interdependent web of life, there is a comfort, a power to be found in reaching out for connection. Let us do that now together in this quiet space, holding our human cares in the silent company of our fellow human beings. Expanding our awareness from the beating of our own hearts to those that beat all around us. Expanding our awareness to include the floor beneath our feet, the ground beneath the floor, the inverted bowl of sky above, the wider world where other hearts beat. Thus held in a larger whole, let us join together in shared silence. With gratitude for the connections that hold us together, even when we feel we might fall apart, we say, blessed be, and amen.
I remember how excited I was when Reverend Melora announced that the UUA was going to be meeting in Portland, Oregon this year. Her enthusiasm was infectious. So I plan to attend along with many others of this congregation. Where else could one go to sing with a choir or with a congregation of more than 5,000 people? The registration packet was amazing. It listed 175 workshops and worship services, all to take place during a 5-day period. It was overwhelming. This was going to happen at the end of June. I got the packet maybe in May, and it took that long to make decisions. It was worse than going to one of our over-the-top potluck dinners for choice. One of the first presentations that I chose to attend was called Habits of Humility. It was about congregational teams creating learning opportunities. I think it was the use of the word humility that struck a chord with me. Then, lo and behold, when I attended my first event, the Berry Street Lecture, the minister who presented talked about the attitudes that we Unitarians can sometimes have or project to society at large. Those attitudes of entitlement, privilege, and wealth. He suggested that we need to give our heads a shake if we ever want to attract new members. Preparing to speak to you this morning about my impressions of the GA, I had an aha moment when I saw in myself the same arrogant behavior that this minister was warning us against. I was going to tell you about how many of the things that people were excited about, like reproductive justice and same-sex marriage, all those things that were old hat to Canadian Unitarians. I really caught myself in the arrogance trap. Just as it is important to cultivate a culture of openness in our congregations, I need to remember to start here first. Fostering a willingness to be a lifelong learner, for me, is embracing humility. Humbly, I was challenged to navigate the humongous Oregon Convention Center. The interior floor space of the Convention Center is 1 million square feet. And yes, the UUA used nearly all of that space. Registrants had an opportunity to rent a motorized scooter when they checked in. My eyes popped when I first viewed the multiple rows of vehicles ready for lease. And sure enough, before the conference began, over 100 people were squired about on their scooters to navigate through the convention center. The one committee who reported to each of the 6 GA meetings was the Right Relations team. They each wore an Oregon paper, an orange paper rose, I guess symbolic of the fact that Portland is known as the City of Roses. And this was so they could be identified to intervene whenever they were required. I had never heard of such a thing, but these people, and there were 8 to 10 of them, were charged with helping us live by our values. Specifically, they listen and engage with people who have experienced any form of oppression or identity based marginalization during the GA. When mistakes are made and people are hurt, this team is there to help us learn together and work it out in community. we do this at some level, but I thought it was amazing that it was on such a huge and public scale there. Each year, the UUA calls on all its member churches to act on the issues that the given year's GA deems most important. This year, the action with the most international significance was the action to support a strong, compassionate global climate agreement in 2015 and to act for a livable climate. Next week's climate change rally at the Parliament is in direct support of this action. Maybe you are planning to join Reverend Melora and our environmental action team there. I hope so. I learned also about the Corvallis, Oregon Church, which has a very enthusiastic 350 group. I meant to bring the wonderful booklet that they produced, which explains in the best readable science that I've come across what is really happening to our environment and how we can act to reverse the devastation of climate change. Two workshops were held with members of the Lummi Nation and the Bellingham UUs. They've been helping each other to oppose the same kind of oil freighter traffic that we worry about along our coast, and having a wonderful success doing it together. So many differences, so many similarities. Being at the GA reinforced how glad I am to be associated with other UUs who care about acting on our values.
When Reverend Shauna and I connect with our larger faith at ministers' meetings, GA, CUC, and so on, we come back with tons of resources. Last May, in addition to resources, I came back with a job. I was selected to present next May's Confluence Lecture at the annual gathering of Canadian Unitarian Universalists. The gathering will be in Vancouver next year, this coming May, just across the water. I hope a lot of you can attend, May 20th through 22nd. The Confluence Lecture is supposed to give an assessment of our movement as a whole. How are we doing? What do we need to do differently? How can we be our best selves as a movement? It's an assessment of the integrity of our larger whole. It's an honor and a big responsibility. With that task in mind, at General Assembly last June, I listened with an ear to those bigger picture questions. What are we here for? What is our niche in the larger tapestry of world religions and human living? We've been hearing for years that mainstream Protestant churches are declining. Our UU congregations are doing better than most mainstream denominations, but we're not growing either. And we've always been small, 46 congregations in Canada, 1,000 in the States. How can we be useful despite our small size? A keynote speaker at the General Assembly offered an answer. Reverend Rob Hardies is the senior minister of a thriving multicultural Unitarian Universalist congregation in Washington, D.C., the same congregation Reverend Shauna served before coming here. Reverend Hardy said, quote, "The precarious and contingent position of our church might help us be more powerful allies and advocates for others whose lives are also contingent and precarious." This is indeed a strength of ours. We embrace diversity of all kinds while maintaining unity in our common values. We are particularly good at welcoming in those on the margins, standing up for those persecuted by prejudice, protecting our vulnerable earth. Reverend Hardy said shared vulnerability is a path to solidarity. He noted the responses to vulnerability after 9/11. Some responded with violence. Others responded with self-involvement. I get the temptation of that one. Sometimes the world seems so awful. You just want to bury your head in the sand and focus on the daily details of your own life. But Reverend Hardy said, our Unitarian Universalist faith offers a third option. When world chaos results in human suffering, we can turn toward one another. We can work together for healing. This all became especially poignant to me this past week. Shauna and I were talking about the aftermath of the Paris attacks. Shauna is an avid internet news reader, so I asked her if she had read about any Islamophobic backlash in Canada. I naively thought that her answer would be no. Hadn't we learned this lesson again and again in recent decades? And Canadians were surely more civilized than most. So when Shauna started listing what she had heard, I almost covered my ears. Yes, she said, a mosque was burned. No, I cried. And she continued, there was a Muslim woman picking up her kids from school. No, no, I didn't want to hear the rest of the sentence that I knew was coming. They beat her up. Damn it. How can people do such hateful things? It made me feel heart sick. Maybe you've also been carrying this feeling. So many events of late have provoked it. The xenophobia and Islamophobia stirred up by the hijab conversation during the election. The fear and prejudice-driven reluctance to take in Syrian refugees after the Paris attacks. These are the same reactions to vulnerability that Reverend Hardy cited, violence and self-involved withdrawal. Recall the third option and what our church is for. Our mission is to transform ourselves and our world. Self-transformation. We work on our own stuff, examining the ways in which our culture's prejudices have seeped into our own beings. We root it out, work to heal it, and replace it with the compassion that is truer to our natures. Doing this alone might feel futile, but we have a congregation, a whole UU movement doing the same work. I was deeply moved when our social responsibility chair described to me the recent forum many of you attended to discuss how our congregation might help Syrian refugees. Such enthusiasm, passion, and commitment. She told me that 34 of our 46 Canadian congregations were gathered on a video conference with a CUC staff member for a tutorial on sponsoring Syrian families. I love the image of that computer screen, 34 faces from different congregations all across Canada working together on this, refusing to let fear and prejudice get in the way of helping our fellow human beings. Last Thursday, another need arose. Perhaps you've seen it on this flyer that's distributed throughout your chairs out there. A Unitarian minister that Reverend Sean and I met at CUC gatherings is in serious danger. He is in jail in Burundi, persecuted by his government. Our national and international network of UUs have mobilized to advocate on his behalf. Please check our Facebook group or our website to see how you can add your voice. You can do something as simple as signing the online petition. You can do it now if you have a smartphone. In silent mode. Or you can do a bit more, signing the two sample letters that we have on the SRC shelf in the hallway. I printed extras. I'm really hoping we can get them all signed. All you have to do is sign your name and your address, and we will mail them for you. This is why we are here. Our response to the vulnerability of our hurting world does not have to be violence, nor self-involved withdrawal. Unitarian Universalism holds us in a larger whole in which we can take our broken hearts, turn toward one another, and work together toward healing. So may it be.
Good morning. So, why should we care about the larger Unitarian Universalist movement? I'm going to put forward two sets of answers,
One, around the Canadian Unitarian Council's support for our UU principles, and the other, around our relationship with other Canadian Unitarian Universalist congregations. The Canadian Unitarian Council, or CUC, is the creation of all the UU congregations in Canada. The congregations are the members of the CUC. So how does the CUC help us? By providing support for UU congregations, everything from advice on dealing with conflict to updates on Canada revenue rules. The CUC has established electronic chat groups for various categories of congregational leaders and a collection of published resources on its website so congregations don't have to reinvent the wheel to address an issue. The CUC provides support for UU social justice initiatives, for example, the refugee crisis that was mentioned earlier, and many others that you may know of. The CUC provides help in finding ministers, directly to help find part-time ministers, and through the Unitarian Universalist Association in the United States for full-time ministers. They helped us get the Lindguts. The CUC provides training for lay chaplains, and the CUC holds the central licensing authority so that they are able to perform weddings. The CUC organizes youth conferences both regionally and nationally. These gatherings can be deeply supportive and meaningful for liberal religious young people. The CUC also organizes the Our Whole Lives training for adult leaders, that's OWL training, to help our youth apply UU principles in their relationships with others. The CUC provides a national and international Canadian Unitarian Universalist voice in support of our values so that our opinions can be heard. For example, the CUC has an agreement with the Canadian Unitarian Universalist United Nations office. These are just some of the ways in which the CUC helps support spiritually rich congregations and helps us attain our social justice goals. My second answer to the question of why we care about larger UU community involves our relationship with other Canadian UU congregations. Like Pat Kinrate, who spoke earlier, I also went to the General Assembly in Portland this summer. There I attended an inspiring presentation by the Reverend Sue Phillips, who is from New England. I'd like to share with you just a few of the things she said about the relationship between UU congregations, which she called a covenant. Religion, by definition, takes place at the intersection of self, community, and the sacred. People become part of religious communities when they share answers to fundamental questions such as, who am I? Who are we? What makes us UUs? What is the nature of God or the holy or the sacred? What does the sacred want from us? Are humans essentially good or fundamentally sinful? When each of us joined the First Unitarian Church of Victoria, we pledged to, quote, share our stories, our gifts, our insights, and our love as we work together to care for one another and the larger world we all share. The existing members welcoming us into the church pledged to be open to your wisdom, to appreciate your gifts, and to support you in your striving. And together, we all reaffirmed our mission, strengthened in spiritual growth, supported in community, energized by diversity, we strive to transform ourselves and our world through compassionate action. This is our covenant with each other. Joining and covenanting are different in the same way that a wedding is different from a marriage. Being in covenant with each other in our congregations and with other congregations is both an ongoing and a rich relationship. As As most of you know, Unitarian Universalist congregations are self-governed. Each congregation names its own conditions for membership, calls and ordains ministers, and controls its own budget. But we are also united in mutual covenant with other congregations. We intentionally come together to learn together, support one another, and to accomplish together what we cannot accomplish alone. Every recognized Unitarian Universalist congregation in Canada is connected by covenant to the community of Unitarian Universalist congregations through its membership in the CUC. Now, what this means to me is that I care about other Canadian UU congregations and their members. I feel good when I hear about their successes and anxious when, for example, there is a flood in Calgary or a huge snow dump in Halifax and church members are affected. I want to walk with these congregations, these people who share my values, on our mutual path. And I know that we are not alone in trying to live our UU principles in this world. Namaste.
We close with words from the aforementioned Unitarian minister who is in prison in Burundi and needs our help, Reverend Fulgence Najijimana. He wrote, "When strangers meet, endless possibilities emerge. New experiences, new ways of understanding, and new ways of taking action. When strangers meet, each pays special attention to the other. Each is called to serve something larger than the self. So may it be."